Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everyone. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And good morning, everyone. I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2011, episode 76, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, horse world.
It's Valentine's Day today?
Hello?
No, it's a Monday. Valentine's Day always falls on a Thursday.
Valentine's Day is about anger,
love,
mating,
discretion, commitment.
I love it. I love hype.
Valentine's Day.
And you're listening to the Horse Radio Network on our very special Valentine's Day episode. And, you know, happy Valentine's Day to you, Glenn.
Happy Valentine's Day, Jamie. Hey, we want to invite everybody to give us a call this morning. We have a fun show planned that Jennifer is going to tell us about it. But we want to this first half an hour, we want to reserve for chatting about Valentine's Day. And we want to give you the opportunity to call in and, you know, give a shout out to anybody you want to for Valentine's Day, whether it's your wife or your husband, that terrific horse husband of yours, whether it's your girlfriend, your boyfriend, just a friend, or your horse or your dog or your cat, we don't care. Just give us a call at 347-637-3238 this first half an hour of the show between 9 and 9:30 Eastern, and we would love to hear from you and hear your Valentine's message. And Jennifer's going to tell us what we have planned for the rest of our show today.
Well, gosh, you pretty much hit it all right there. It's all things Valentine's Day. And by the way, I'd like to give a shout-out to our buddy Darcy. Happy Friends, Second Annual Friends Appreciation Day back to you. Because for those out there who do not have a significant other, Valentine's Day kind of sucks. So happy Friends Appreciation Day. You can give us a call and give a shout-out to your BBF. You know, that's allowed. And that's pretty much what we're going to be doing. We're going to have three couples competing in the Horse Radio Network version of the newlywed game. We will have a couple who has been together for a long time, and a newly married couple, and a couple that's just barely a couple. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And our own Helena B. will be playing the part of Bob Eubanks. So it should be a lot of fun and silliness. We're going to have a lot of good fun music from some of our favorite independent artists. And then, of course, we're going to have some weird and off-kilter little bits of news and stuff that we found all over the Internet all about Valentine's Day. And that's what we're going to do today.
Now, I found out that you guys already had your Valentine's Day. So obviously it's you know, I hate to say it, but it is kind of a man's holiday to romance his woman, and I mean, she obviously has to give back, but we know how she does that. So what did you do for Jennifer for Valentine's Day? I don't want to know anymore after that.
Actually, Saturday, we had our Valentine's Day, and we went to Louisville, and we actually spent the morning doing a horsey thing, which is something that I highly advise against on Valentine's Day. But we did go and we saw Daniel Stewart in the morning, at the MSEDA meeting over there, the Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association meeting in Louisville. It was a lot of fun. We actually got to meet Daniel and spend a little bit of time talking to him. But better yet, we got to spend all morning listening to his session on psychology and and horsemanship, and it was really cool. Jennifer, I know you were as fascinated as I was. He is as neat a guy in person as he is on our show.
He has a distinctly infectious enthusiasm and energy for life, and that was a lot of fun. We've talked to him so many times on the phone, but I'd never gotten to meet him in person, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of enjoyment, and we got to see the first half of the morning, which was really the nuts and bolts of sports psychology from the horse person's point of view, and it was a lot of good stuff.
Of course, Daniel Stewart is the one that joins us every month for the psychology segment we do, Going Cycle with Daniel Stewart, and he'll be back on here soon. But we got about five or six things that I wrote down from his morning session that I want to talk about on the show here, break those things down and make them into segments to talk about on the show. They were just very, very interesting stuff, and he's a neat guy. And then in the afternoon, we went and had lunch, and then in the afternoon, we went to the Louisville, what the heck was that, Jennifer? The
museum
there? Science Museum. By the way, science museums, I have this thing to say about science museums. Because technology is going so fast nowadays, when you go into a science museum, they seem so dated because they can't keep up. So they just seem so dated. But anyway, they had a Star Wars exhibit there with a lot of the original stuff from Star Wars. Yeah,
Star Trek.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Star Trek.
Oh, how dare you. How dare you.
Oh, man.
And so we got to see a lot of the original items from this Star Trek, from the original series on through the latest movies. So that was a lot of fun. And I got my picture taken on the set of Star Trek sitting in Captain Kirk's original chair. And you'll find that on our Horses in the Morning page on Facebook. I put it up there. I actually said it was our new studio, but the new studio is not quite that nice.
I was excited to be working from the bridge, so I'm a little disappointed. That is not our real studio. I mean, I wanted to beam to work every day. Imagine how cool that would be I didn't have to be in Phoenix, because you could beam me over to Lexington every day. We could do the show live.
And I could beam Boomer and Zenyatta too.
Yeah, well, they're too wild right now. We'll have to wait till they grow up a little bit.
After that, we can't talk about what we did, but we had a lovely day. I thought we had a lovely day. I don't know. We'll ask Jennifer's opinion. Did you have a lovely day?
We did. I enjoyed it immensely. Glenn was forced to read plaques in the Star Trek exhibit because it was lots and lots of plaques and props. And it was really kind of cool because they explained a lot of what happens behind the scenes and how the shows got made and why they did things a certain way because of the technology. And then as a final crowning achievement for the day, we watched the first Star Trek movie that was made in 1979. I don't even remember the name of the title of the movie, the subtitle anymore, but it was lots of fun. You know, and we were sitting there watching it going, wow, when this came out, we thought this was so high-tech and cool and eye-popping, and we're watching it on our TV going, oh, this is so cheesy.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I would imagine,
Things have really changed in 25 years, let me tell you. They have really changed technology-wise.
Tell everybody about the one display they had was of personal access data devices that were in Star Trek movies and series. Tell them about that. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, back in the original series, I had forgotten this, they used these little props that they called PADS, P-A-D-D, which stood for a personal access data device, and they were about the size of an iPad. And they actually used them back in the series they made, the original series in the 1960s, and they were a computer to get information on, a little portable computer. It's amazing how much of the stuff that they used back in the original series is being used today in its current form. It is amazing how much of the stuff that didn't exist back then that now exists today I got to give him credit for that. It was really cool to see the pad used as a prop right beside the iPad. And it was
alike.
Amazing how similar they were.
Well, it's funny you mention that. I think the creator of Star Trek, obviously, this guy named Gene Roddenberry and Walt Disney were so ahead of their time. I mean, if you were to go, I remember going to Tomorrowland, in the Walt Disney World as a kid and seeing, there's no way you were ever going to be able to talk to somebody on a, on a computer while looking at them, a telephone with a camera, just stuff like that. And then you've got Skype and just he predicted everything that would happen. And just like Gene Roddenberry did. Now, what there are a couple things that I would like to happen that Gene Roddenberry and the Star Trek people did is I want, because I am a Next Generation fan, I want a holodeck.
Oh.
Do you remember what the holodeck is? For those who don't know, you walk into this room and you go, London, 1870s. I'm on a horse. I'm wearing all the garb from the period. And then all of a sudden, Captain Picard is sitting there on a white stallion riding through old London. He's just like, that's what I want. I want the holodeck.
Don't they call that Disney World right now?
Say what, Jen?
They call that Disney World right now.
Yeah, it's as close as we
not
get.
Not quite that cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. The holodeck would be cool.
Yeah, and Beam Me Up Scotty would be cool, too. I got to tell you, I agree with you totally about beaming to places. That would be so nice. Save a lot of gas. Look how energy efficient it would be.
Someday it'll happen.
Well, it is about Valentine's Day today, and we're going to play a little more music than usual for you today because, music, Valentine's all go together. So we want to give you some more music, and we have we also have some very special things. We have our special game planned for you with Jamie and Chad. You'll get to hear Chad on the air. Ooh, Chad's voice from Friday got some comments from the ladies, didn't it? You better watch out there, Jamie.
I know, he's awesome radio voice guy. I love it. Hey, by the way, I just have to touch base. Glenn, before we get into all of our lovey stuff, I am back from my road trip. I did drive all the way to Clovis, California, and we will talk more about that tomorrow. That's all I can say. You have to tune in tomorrow to find out what exactly happened, and we will need your calls.
All right, tomorrow it is. I guess that's an indication of how that went. Don't want to talk about it on Valentine's Day.
No.
All right. Remember, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a Valentine's shout out for someone, 347-637-3238. And now it's time for our daily winning. The Daily Winnie's a simple one today. It goes out to all our listeners. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Thanks for listening to us. We really appreciate it. And I'm going to be back here very shortly with the recipe for a happy marriage from America's Horse Husband. That's me, Glenn the Geek. You're going to want to hear the recipe for a happy marriage with my little spin on it. But first, we want you to take a listen to, and I'm trying to find it here on my playlist because I have so many songs for us today. We want you to take a listen to Templeton Thompson because you can't have a happy Valentine's Day and you can't be all lovey and gushy and you really can't have a great loving day unless you have a happy house. This is Templeton Thompson and a song called Happy House. Come back, and before you know
very good dog, and a scratch on the head is all they want. There's a lesson there, take it all in stride. Life's good, joy's right. Our happy house is built on love, filled with dreams and that's the stuff. And every day I'm more amazed how everything just falls into place. Our happy house by the riverside, where the cotton and the bluebirds fly.
Templeton Thompson, Happy House. Oh, I really like that song. I love when we get to play new stuff here on Horses in the Morning. I want to tell you guys, just to let you know that approximately 1 billion Valentine's Day cards are exchanged on Valentine's Day every year. It is the largest seasonal card sending occasion of the year next to Christmas. There's your Happy Valentine's
Holy
Day back
cow.
To you now. What?
Holy cow, 1 billion. You know, I heard somewhere on the TV the other day that they said Valentine's Day was a made up, you know, Hallmark holiday. That's just about as untrue as it gets.
You're right.
It is so
historical. It is, I mean, it's been around for like, go ahead. I don't even know how many years. My math is bad.
Well, it's like over 2,000 years old. It actually started in Roman times. Now, back then, it was just basically an excuse for two young people to pull names out of a hat and sleep together for a year. But its origins do go back that far. And then, of course, the whole St. Valentine thing came into play, you know, and that was about 300-400 A.D. So, you know, it's a few years old. It probably is less of a made-up Hallmark holiday than our other holidays. Than some of the others we celebrate. So I kind of think it's been around longer. By the way, Happy Valentine's Day, Janie.
Oh, Happy Valentine's Day to you, Glenn. Absolutely. Now, I'm dying to hear this this list that you have that I'm probably going to get mad at you about because I don't detect sarcasm in your voice.
All right, this is the recipe for a happy marriage from America's Horse Husband. That's me. And this was actually modified by a list that was taken from psychologist Dr. Ludwig Lowenstein. So I just modified it a little so it'd be more related to actual horse couples than regular couples. So this is a list that was for regular couples, and of course we all know horse couples are different. So I modified it a little bit, but it kind of has the same ingredients. And the first one is, and, you know, Jennifer and I try and live up to this one, too. And these are all things that we've tried to live up to. Jennifer and I have been married for 23 years this year. And so we've been married, but we've known each other for 25 years. So we're probably playing the game today. We're the old couple, the old married couple. But we've tried to live up to these. The first one is 4 hugs per day, at least 6 seconds each. And I added outside the barn. And I know that's going to be tough, ladies, because you spend a lot of your time in the barn. But when you come in for lunch or when you see your husband in the house, give him that hug. And the important part of this is 6 seconds. And you have to count it out. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, or 1,000 hay bales, 2,000 hay bales, whatever it is. You have to count it out and get to that 6 seconds. Now, do you do that, Janie? I'm going to ask you each one of these if you're living up to these.
Okay, you can ask me, and I'll honestly answer. Absolutely, we do that. We are we're that disgusting new married couple that just are all over each other all the time.
Okay.
It's pretty bad.
Okay, good. We got to get them. We got to try and get them through a half an hour game show today. 7 nights at home together per month. I added not cleaning stalls, and this actually means time away from both jobs and the horse addiction. So that means 7 nights together, you know, hanging around the house, doing stuff, you know. And that one, you know, you wouldn't think that would be hard because there's 30, 31 nights in a month. But, you know, it is. It's kind of tough because you get busy, and especially horse people, especially this time of year when the days start to get longer and you're spending more time outside at night. But, you know, that kind of means that if you have kids, it means spending time together after the kids go to bed, not working, not with iPods, not with phones, that kind of thing. So how about that one?
Well, you know, I got to tell you that I work from home. I teach all my lessons at home. I'm home all the time, and I make dinner every night. So I nailed this one too, Glenn. I'm not going to lie. We're home. We spend every evening together, and we make it, you know, at night when I bring the horses in and I feed them. We go out at night together and turn all the horses out and let them run around. I got that one down. What about you guys?
Yeah, we same thing. We both work at home. So this one's pretty easy for us. We don't have a barn anymore that we take care of. We board our horse. And I think when you board your horses, that one's much easier than when you have a barn that, you know, with 20 horses calling to you at all times of the day and night. So that one's, I think that one's easier when you board than when you have your own barn. That was tougher, I think, when we had our own place. I think that was much tougher. All right, the next one is 2 proper dinner dates per month. And I added that does not include the food stand at the horse show, okay? That one doesn't count. I know you drag your husband along to go to the horse show, and you might consider that one, or the McDonald's on the way home. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about 2 proper dinner dates away from the house, maybe away from the kids, spend time together per month outside of the horse world and all the other world, just the two of you. So how about that one?
I like that one. You know, we might do that. We're such homebodies. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, we do need to have more date nights, that's for sure. So we could probably improve on that one. But 2 a month is not ridiculous. So, yeah, I think we'd probably do that. You guys,
all right,
do you
cool.
do that?
Yeah, we definitely – well, we probably do a lot more than that, actually, more than we should. I cook a lot.
You're a going-out-to-dinner guy.
Well,
okay.
I'll tell you what that is, though. You know this from working at home. When you work at home, especially when we have jobs that our jobs are in the house, you at least get to go outside the house. But our jobs are in the house. So when you work at home all the time, 5 days, 7 days a week, you want to get out. And, you know, one of the things that you can do to get out is, you know, go to dinner. So that's probably why we do more than other people is because of that. Because we do like to get out of the house. And 2 romantic walks per month, and I added off the horses, ladies. That doesn't include trail rides. And just you and him, leave the horse at home. That's kind of like a threesome if you bring the horse along. So let's see you argue with that one, Jamie.
I can't do that one. I mean, we walk the puppies, but that's kind of like a foursome, so or a sixsome if we bring all dogs. So we don't really do the romantic walks without an animal. What's the point?
Well, I agree. You can take your dog along. I think you can take your dogs along, but you just you know I was trying to get us out of the barn there again. And then there's recommended. He had 2 recommended. Those are the 4 for keeping a truly happy marriage and staying together. And it's not that much, really, when you think about it. But sometimes life gets in the way, and we just forget to do them, you know. And I hope that Katie and Roger are listening in here because you know they're the couple that's going to be on with us. It's not married yet, the young dating couple. So we're hoping that they're listening to this. And then he has 2 recommended. These are not mandatory, but they're recommended. And a man should give his partner flowers or another small gift once a month. And I added, guys, I know she would rather have a bag of treats for her horses, but it's just not the same. You need to do the flowers, the other small gift that's non-horse related once per month. Because despite what she says, she really does appreciate those non-horse related gifts, despite what she tells you. I don't care what she says, she appreciates that. So that's the other one that I recommend there is, and then there was one more. Each partner should have 1 night out alone with friends per month. So, and then I added, ladies, this is a breeches-free night out. So you can't wear your breeches. This is a night out with friends. Go out and have a good time. Have fun away from the barn, away from the horses. Of course, you're probably going to be with horse people and end up talking about horses every night because that's what happens with us horse people. So how'd you do? Are you going to have a long, happy life here, Jamie?
I so far I think your recipe is pretty good. We probably don't spend a night apart, you know, without him traveling or without being forced to, because we're just in that first year of marriage. We're disgustingly happy. So there you go. But how did you do?
Oh, we did. I think we did pretty well on this one. This is one that, you know, they're not that difficult, but I think we've done pretty well, especially in recent years. I would say this was tougher when we had the big farm with 20 horses. You know, if you have 20, 25 horses, this one gets, and they'll help. And it's just the two of you. This one definitely gets tougher. Well, I think we do have a caller calling in to wish a Valentine. So let's say hi to Katie. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Jamie. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, happy Valentine's
Day
to you.
Well, how are y'all got? Are you doing?
We're doing great. It's a lovely day. Pun. Get the pun.
It is a lovely day. Well, I wanted to share with the listeners a contest that Kentucky Performance Products is running on their Facebook. And we're having a drawing for a supplement of their choice. So this is a great chance for listeners, if they're looking for a new supplement and want to try something new, to join into and enter the contest. And we're celebrating the equine love of your life. And we want to know how you pamper your horse on Valentine's Day. And that can be anything that you do to make them feel special and just thank them for being so giving in your life. And, you know, whether that's making a special treat or grooming them extra long, we want to hear how you celebrate with your horses. So you can visit our Facebook page and comment on the contest post or even post on our wall how you pamper your horse.
Well,
all right, great.
How I celebrate with my horse, I'm going to go work his little butt off. He had the whole weekend off. So. That's what he's going to do.
Hey, they love their celebrating.
Exactly. Thanks for calling. Take care.
Thanks.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. I was just going to ask you really. Go ahead.
Should we play another song before we start the game?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's bring in, and we did this a little bit in the intro, which I thought was pretty good today. We're going to do our ad. First of all, this half hour is sponsored by Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals. They create only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And Jamie, I wanted to say that you're still using some of the Omega Alpha products, and I know that we ordered some that are coming down right now that we're going to start using. And I think one of the things that we really like about this company is how natural their products are. Everything is natural.
Absolutely, and I know I've definitely seen some really good stuff coming from, I've been using the Biotic 8. It's a kind of a probiotics supplement for a horse that I have with a sensitive stomach, and he's doing really well on it. I mean, he used to have a gas colic about once a month and would get a little painful, and, you know, that gets expensive. And, you know, since he's been on it, not that I'm saying that, I don't know if they're related or not, but hello, he hasn't had it since. So I'm the knock on wood right there, too. But I've had really good luck with it, and hopefully you guys will, too.
All right. Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. Look for their products at retailers nationwide and visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca. And this next song is from Trish Lynn. We played a little bit of it in the opener, but it's perfect for Valentine's Day. It's called This Cowboy Mine.
I got a cowboy in love with me. My baby knows just how to play. Wild and it don't hold back. Ooh, when it looks at me, my heart beats real fast. Yeah, my baby loves me, he's so fine. Yeah, my baby loves me all the time. Yeah, my baby loves me the
and girls talk about. We can dance all around the floor. Yeah, that's the kind of man I'm looking for.
Another fantastic fun fact for you guys, and you got to stick with me here because I'm reading all of these facts. And all right, so it says 15% of U.S. women send themselves flowers on Valentine's Day, and I know people that have done that because
okay,
you're trying to make that guy at work jealous, you know. And do you know anybody who's ever done that?
No, actually, I can't say I did. Have you ever done that, Jennifer?
Sent myself flowers?
Yes.
No, I haven't. I've bought myself flowers on many occasions, but I've never sent them to me. That's tricky. Send them to yourself at the office with some mysterious, you know, He-Man guy name on them. Wouldn't that be fun?
That's
Jamie,
fantastic.
I
love it.
I imagine you used to get flowers probably all the time. You were a celebrity in Atlanta, so the flowers used to come through from guys you didn't know or didn't want to know.
That only happened once, and it was actually incredibly uncomfortable. And
I bet.
It was bad. Yeah, but they sent it to work, but they didn't know that I worked in the satellite studio, so I never got the flowers because I wasn't there. And then I get a voicemail at that radio station of this guy screaming at me, how dare I not even thank him for the flowers, and can't believe what a, you know, B-word I am and everything. And I'm like, what flowers? So, yeah, I did call him back and say whatever, but he was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, see, your true colors show through right there. So, yeah, we're done. We're not dating.
All right. Let's play the first ever Horses in the Morning newlywed game. And some of us are more newlyweds than others, I think. But Jennifer and I, we try and act like they were newlyweds. So what we're going to do is we have three couples on here. But first, we're going to introduce the host of the game, our very own Helena B. Hello, Helena.
Good morning. How are my long-lost friends?
We're good. Hello. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
And, of course, Helena is happily married as well, but her husband isn't on here. He has to work today. So
no,
that's why she's the host. She's the hostess with the mostest today. And
well, I've got something for you, yeah, but I don't know if it's the mostest.
And she's going to be asking us the tough questions. And let's introduce the couples here. Of course, we have the youngest couple to play the game. And you have met them before. They have been on our show before. That's Katie and Roger. They are dating and not married yet. But Roger is the one that's known for his penmanship, talking about being a horsey boyfriend. And we had him on the show a while back, so we had to bring him back. Hi, Katie and Roger.
Good morning, guys. Happy Valentine's Day.
Good. Are you two in the same place, or are you in different places right now?
Different places.
We are in different places. Yeah.
Okay, good, good.
Good.
All right, so tell us real quick, remind everybody how long you've been dating.
Well, what is it, hon?
I think
about 11 months.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
11? And there's no date. We don't know of any date, like wedding date or anything yet. Is that correct?
No. That's
there isn't even a ring yet.
Okay, just checking.
Hold on.
But there is something that Jamie probably doesn't know about and that we have to bring up right away. This is a very, very special Valentine's Day for Roger in particular. Number one, because he's still here thanks to Katie. Roger, you owe her big time.
That's correct.
What
That's
happened?
Correct. Who's going to tell the story?
Oh, the choking episode.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I'm
heavens,
thinking, oh,
yeah.
My gosh, what are they talking about? You better tell the story, Katie.
No, yeah, he. Well, I think it was one of the afternoons just a few days ago, he went out to let little Frankie, his puppy, go to the bathroom, and, you know, he had his Twizzler in one hand and a Red Bull outside chilling in the snow, and I guess he had was eating his Twizzler. Yeah, I know, right? He was eating his Twizzler. It got stuck, so he had some Red Bull to try to wash it down, and then next thing I know, he comes into the kitchen kind of flailing his arms and not able to talk, and I thought he was kidding. And then he like, squeezed out the word choking, and I immediately got behind him and tried to give him the Heimlich, and he started coughing and eventually got it up, but it was really scary.
Well, let's give Katie a round of applause.
Yes,
you go,
very
girl.
Much, honey.
You're a hero.
You're welcome.
That's right.
Well, I hope maybe we were able to work together because I took a Heimlich class back in the day, but I've never actually practiced it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Roger, you better darn well be getting something nice for Katie today. You owe her big time.
The pressure's on. The pressure is
yes,
on.
Yes, it is. That's for sure. Well, of course, so you guys are the non-married part of this. And then we have next up in order, we would have Jamie and Chad. Are you both there?
Yes.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Chad, and welcome to the first ever newlywed game here on Horses in the Morning. And we have a bunch of you come. Yeah, Chad, now how long have you guys been married, Chad?
Why you have to ask me and put me on the spot like that?
You better know.
Let's see. We're coming up on a year.
Okay, so they've been married. You're still newlyweds. You're not over that year mark yet.
We got married last May, May 29th. Remember that date, honey?
Yeah, thanks for the strong start here, Glenn.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just trying to help you out here, Chad. So you guys have been married. How long did you date before you got married?
2 years.
Okay, so you've known each other for a total of almost 3 years now.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And everything, and Jamie, you know, obviously we know how the relationship is going because we hear about it every day. And it sounds like it's going very well. And we hear you. And what's really cool is we hear Chad fly over occasionally, right on the air.
So now, I guess that does happen.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm already like, even the flying thing can't top the Red Bull commercial here. That's awesome.
By the way,
Roger, seriously, your diet needs to improve, my friend. Red Bulls and Twizzlers, while I like both things, together for breakfast, not a great idea.
However,
yes,
an awesome
indeed, this is the truth.
And then, of course,
then,
we have... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I get to introduce you guys, okay? We've got Glenn and Jennifer, who are on the show every single morning together. They live together. They work together. They pretty much have about as, you know, unhealthy of a healthy marriage. No time apart at all. they've been married for like a million years. They're old as the hills. They've been together forever. And you guys, if you don't win this game, I'm gonna freak out because you know this is we're gonna quiz each other, and you guys should totally know everything backwards and forwards. But you know maybe not. So we'll see what happens. So Glenn and Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Helena, do you want to explain how the game's going to work and get us started? It's your game. Where are the players now?
Talk about being put on the spot. Okay, I have no idea how this game is going to work because, you know what, the Newlywed Game was before my time. Just want everybody to know that.
Me too.
Actually, that's a big fat lie. All right. What we're going to do is ask everybody, both sides of the couples, the men and women, we're going to ask them a series of questions. And so, for example, we're going to ask Glenn, where was your first kiss? And then he'll have to provide the answer, and if he gets it right, then they get a point. If he gets it wrong, we move on to the next person. So we're just going to wing this. Just nod your heads and say, yes, Helena, you're right. You're the queen of everything. Cool.
Oh, good. Well, we see how it works in her household.
Yeah. That's why I'm the hostess. Okay. So we're going to start with Glenn.
All right.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Ready? Question number one. Glenn, where was your first kiss?
Well, see, now this one's kind of easy for us because we've actually talked about this on the air before. So this is sort of a gimme for us, I think. Our first kiss was in the middle of the square in front of about 1,000 people at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding.
Ding,
ding, ding.
You
ding,
are
ding,
correct.
Ding.
One
Yay!
Point per win. Okay, Chad, where was your first kiss?
All right, well, this one might take a second here. It's a little background. I happen to be flying on an airliner from Atlanta to Philadelphia to go meet somebody. And my now lovely wife might have been on the same flight on her way to go meet somebody as well. After the two-hour flight, I'm pretty sure we knew after 2 hours in the Philadelphia airport as we had our first kiss that, this was going somewhere. So in the Philadelphia airport.
Okay. So ding,
That's
ding,
correct.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct. Now, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute here. Oh, yeah. I got the show backwards.
I was
oh,
going to say,
goodness.
That's not the question I answered.
I know.
So,
you have to forgive me because I'm extremely sick at the moment. I woke up with a really bad head cold. Okay,
uh-oh.
So let's switch this around. So you each got 2 points. We're going to give – so everybody across the board starts out with an A. Everybody gets 1 point, so we make it even.
All right.
Let me let's start this over here. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask – those are Glenn's answers. Where was your first kiss? So we have to ask Jennifer.
Okay, what are you going to ask me? Uh-oh. I hate that pause. That means she's thinking up something.
I know. All right, so these are all right, hold on.
So let me
here.
Explain this real quick to our listeners, is that we sent out 5 questions to all the men and all the women, and the men answered their questions the way they think we would answer it. So the first kiss question, they actually were supposed to type the answer down. She was supposed to ask us that. So basically what we're going to do is she's going to ask, like, say, Chad a question that I've already pre-answered. So you got it a little bit backwards. You asked him the one he pre-answered. So let's go start over with the next round.
Okay, start with the next round. So I'm going to ask – well, okay, so let's use Glenn as an example. I'm going to ask
– he's an example, all right.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm using him, and he can handle
example.
It. He's got a tough skin. Okay, so when I ask Glenn a question, like, for example, where was your first kiss? He has to tell me what your answer would have been. Is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not hard.
Yes, it is. If this is me we're talking about, it's hard. Okay. But then there were different, but see, there were different questions. For example, Jennifer, I'm going to ask you, what was Glenn's first car?
Now, that one's for Glenn.
Yeah. Now, that one's for Glenn.
No. And I had to guess what his answer is.
I got my
right?
first answer right.
Yeah, yes, everybody got their first answer right.
Okay. So I'm going to ask, here we go. So these are actually Glenn's questions. What was your first car? Is that right, Jen?
Yes.
Okay. So let's start over. Glenn, what was your first car?
What was my first car or Jennifer's first car?
Your first car.
Oh. I don't even remember what my first car was. A VW Bug, the old kind, the very old kind that had no heat and absolutely just didn't run very well. It was an old VW Bug.
Oh, it was, Buzz. She guessed a green gremlin.
No, that was later. I've got to tell you, I've owned every crashy, crappy car you could imagine. When I drove, don't ask me, it wasn't green, it was a blue gremlin. When I drove that gremlin home from the used car lot, the transmission fell out on the ground, on my own.
All right, so now we're going to ask the next one. So now we're going to ask Chad, what was your first car?
Let's see. I think I had a, this was a real beaut. It was like a copper bronze colored 1980 Honda Accord.
Oh.
what do you mean?
Jamie guessed a Mazda.
Who drives a Mazda?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, my first car was a Miata. Yeah.
I remember being old and ugly. Sorry.
Okay, next one. This is for Roger. What was your first car?
My first car was a Honda CRX, a 1991.
Ooh.
A little piece of crap.
Ooh, had to come out with a cool car.
Ooh.
Yeah, right.
Well, this answer, well, not you didn't match up with Katie. Good answer. Chad's question of, who drives a Mazda, because it would be Roger. Katie answered that you drive a Mazda Matrix, souped up and very fast.
No, I guess we've never discussed that question before, except I know what her first car was, so.
Well, now you got to figure it out. What was her first car?
Yeah, what was her first car?
It was a Ford Explorer.
Yes!
Yeah, oh. That I had to have replaced because it wouldn't pass state inspection that year because of a massive rust hole directly under the driver's seat. So, fancy. It wasn't a fancy Explorer, but it did the job.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. If I can
find
the
ready.
Game properly. Okay.
No point for that, by the way.
No point.
All right. No point.
No.
All right. This is for Jennifer. This was for
Glenn.
Oh, this is
or
for Glenn.
Jennifer.
This is for Glenn. What horse-related expense do you complain about the most?
Do I complain about the most?
Yep.
Horse-related expense that I complain about the most probably would be tack.
Well, ding. You get one ding.
One ding.
Okay.
You get one ding because Jennifer said all of them.
Whichever one he notices that month, that's the one he complains about the most.
You get one ding, but you know, and tax, so tax included in that. Okay, let's move on to Chad. And Jamie, what horse-related expense does Chad complain about the most?
You have to answer what I said. You complain about
what you have.
No, you have to answer this one. What horse-related expense do I think you complain about the most?
No, Jamie, you have to answer this one. You have to guess what he said.
Oh.
See, I'm not the only one.
I think that'd be tough because I know that he's shocked at the amount that horses eat. But I'm also thinking that I would say the farrier bills. Farrier.
Let's see. We're looking it up. Well, you get two dings.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. Two dings.
How's
that?
Well, he said anything in a tax store.
Now, keep reading. Keep reading.
All right. Okay, besides food, shoes, the horses, and hers.
There you go. Well, that's probably a ding.
The other shoes were in there. Yeah, she's got a point.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to Katie. What horse-related expense does Roger complain about the most?
Well, I think Roger's really lucky in our unique dating situation because he doesn't have to pay for any of it. So
he gets
a free will on that. But, you know, this past year I bought a trailer with the living quarters in front, and I bought a truck. So, yeah, so I think overall he's probably just shocked at maybe the everything associated with competition costs.
Again, you get one ding. One ding. Because Roger said, well, he also said this is what you spend the most on, saddles.
That's right. She has to have the Devaku saddles, which are very fancy.
Oh, they're so wonderful. They're like riding in silk.
I don't think, Judge, we can give him a point for that, considering that. What do you think, Helena?
What's that? You gave him a ding for that?
Yeah, that wasn't anything close.
Well, no, because saddles are part of competition. I mean, you can't go riding around bareback when you're competing.
Oh, now we're stretching.
That's a stretch.
It.
Yeah.
Fine. He gets half a ding.
Half a ding. Okay.
Half a ding. Okay, who am I on now? We are on back to Glenn.
You're back to us. Yep.
Back to Glenn and Jennifer. Okay. When, dun, dun, dun. Who takes longer?
Who are you asking, Glenn or Jennifer?
Okay, so I'm asking Jennifer this question, and she has to tell me what she thinks Glenn answered.
Okay.
Who takes longer to get dressed?
Oh, I do.
Yes, she does. Absolutely, positively, I agree.
Ding, 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 ding.
That would be a big, fat ding. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, on to Chad. What did Jamie say? Who takes longer to get dressed, you or Jamie?
This could be tough. The problem is if I'm watching SportsCenter while I'm getting dressed, then she's pretty quick. I'm gonna have to say.
I hate SportsCenter, by the way. I hate it with all the passion in my fiber, my being. I hate SportsCenter. They're stupid, colorful sets, and they're stupid guys that analyze stupid sports and don't talk about horse racing. Hate it. Go ahead.
Okay, hater. All right. I'm primarily watching horse-related events only, of course. I'll say she's pretty quick. I'm not slow, but she's ridiculously fast. So I'll say if I'm watching SportsCenter, it takes me longer.
Ding, 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 ding. Correct.
You have to understand, when Chad gets dressed in the morning and goes to work, he has, listen to this. He has 47 patches he has to put on his uniform every single day with, like, different signs and everything. And I just think that takes forever. And I throw on jeans, paddock boots, and a T-shirt, okay, and a ball cap. So, God, I'm hideous.
So the real question is, who takes longer to get dressed when you're out when you're going someplace that's not in the air or at the barn?
It's still him.
All right, moving on to the next question. So again, this one is for Jennifer to answer.
Wait. Did we get Katie and Roger on this one?
Can we
not
do
yet.
That? Oh, I'm sorry.
Katie and Roger.
Oh, I know we're not married yet, but give us a chance.
I'm sorry. You guys
are
worthwhile.
You are worthwhile. You are worthy. Okay, sorry. Katie, so for Katie, who takes longer to get dressed? You. What did Roger say? Who takes longer to get dressed, you or him?
Oh, I think him.
Oh, ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. I have to lose my man card on this one. I'm much higher maintenance than Katie is.
I love Roger.
Yeah,
Yeah. He takes a long time in the shower too. I always told myself, you know, I can't date a man who spends more time in the bathroom or in front of the mirror than I do. But it's pretty minimal for me. But Roger, he has a great time in there and spends a long while in that shower. And in the bathroom and all. Well,
nobody gets the wrong impression right here. I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression.
I know, right. I'm going to stop right there. Sorry.
She just threw you under the bus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, babe.
Okay.
Okay. So on to the next question, right? We're back to Glenn. This one is my favorite question, I think. The question we asked, and it's for Jennifer to answer. If your spouse were a cartoon character, who do you think she would be? And the choices were Betty Boop, Wonder Woman, Lucy from Charlie Brown, or Sheena the Warrior Princess. Jennifer, what do you think Glenn guessed you would be?
Okay, what are the choices again?
Betty Boop, Wonder Woman, Lucy from Charlie Brown, or Sheena the Warrior Princess.
Well, I know what I think I am, but I don't know what he thinks I am. I'm going to say I'm Lucy Van Pelt.
Ding, 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 ding. You are so Lucy. You are so Lucy.
And the reason is because if you remember, Lucy was the counselor type. She sat and she gave out counseling advice for 5 cents in her little booth. Well, that's what pretty much Jennifer does all day long, is counsels me in the little booth. So that's
I got a lot of nickels after 22 years.
Okay, on to Jamie. What do you think, what cartoon character did you think Chad would say you are? Now, yours are a little bit different. Your answers would be, or the selection that he had to choose from was Catwoman, Wonder Woman, Lucy from Charlie Brown, or Sheena the Warrior Princess.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to be Sheena the Warrior Princess, but I think that I'm not that tough, so I think he probably said Wonder Woman.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, look at that.
Wow.
You guys have to understand, I get so excited when you get the questions right.
The reason I said Wonder Woman is because I think he's made that comment before, because I will do the show and then teach all the lessons and then come home and then come inside and I've cleaned the kitchen and cooked dinner and I've like done everything. I'm trying to, you know, impress him in the first year of marriage. So it may change next year, but
next year you'll be Lucy.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Anybody that dresses faster than me.
At Roger and Katie, here we go. Okay. So Katie, the question is, if you were a cartoon character, who does Roger think you would be? And you actually had the same options as Jamie. It would be Catwoman, Wonder Woman, Lucy, or Sheena, Warrior Princess.
I think it would either be Wonder Woman or Sheena, the Warrior Princess, because they both get a lot done. But I don't look as good as Wonder Woman. She always looks together. So, you know, at the end
Wait a minute, Katie. Does that mean you just don't have big metal boobs? Is that what it is?
Well, that's part of it. You know, that's part of it. But there are surgeries to correct that, so there might be hope for me. But I think it would be Sheena, because I've never seen Sheena, but I imagine she's looks a little rough at the end of the day. You know, and I've got my helmet hair. And I'm a little dirty, and I've got dirt on my breeches, and nothing really quite matches. So I'm going to go with Sheena.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow, geez.
Okay. This is the last round. Here we go, and this is another good one. Who, and this is for Glenn and Jennifer. Jennifer, you have to, again, answer what you think Glenn's answer was.
Okay.
Who is better at hitching up the trailer?
Oh, me. That's easy.
Oh, wait a minute here.
Sorry.
I knew that would get a rise out of him.
You were equally qualified to hitch up the trailer.
I think I did the correct answer, if I remember right. I said we're equal, in hitching up the trailer, because we've both done it about the same. Well, you've done it more than me, but I've done it as well as you in the past.
Uh-huh.
Well, you didn't get it.
Stream on, horse husband. All right. Same question for Chad and Jamie. Jamie, what do you think Chad's answer was? Who's better at hitching up the trailer?
There's no question about it. It's absolutely me.
Ding, 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 ding.
No question. Did he write no question about it? Yeah, that's not even an option.
I couldn't spell trailer before her.
And for Katie and Roger, the same question. Katie, what did you think Roger answered when we asked him, who's better at hitching up the trailer, you or him?
Oh, me, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Ding, ding,
but
ding,
I don't think
ding,
the poor
ding,
guy,
ding.
I don't think he's hooked up the trailer yet. He's driven it once, but we haven't done the hooking up yet.
That's not entirely true. I just can't hitch it up if there's horses involved. If it's just the trailer and the LQ, I'm good to go, but otherwise you don't let me touch it.
My girl. You know that,
hey,
that
no
thing they have on
you
the,
guys have
on the home improvement shows? They say, well, if a couple can survive building a home together, you know, they've got a strong marriage. If a dating couple can survive one teaching the other horse trailering skills, you've got a strong relationship.
Chad, I have to ask
strong
you.
Foundation.
I have to ask Chad, I have to ask you, how many times have you been yelled at when she asked you to help load the horse, but then you're not doing it right?
I have never once done it correctly, so that'd be pretty much every time. Yeah. She's a little
very couple man.
I have a system, Glenn. I have a system, okay?
Don't mess with the system. I have a feeling I'll be learning the system for another 15, 20 years.
Yeah, you will. And by the way, you will never learn it, ever, because it changes. Once you think you got it right, it changes.
Well, so do you guys want to hear which couple is the winner?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, what's the prize?
We don't have
a long, happy, and lasting relationship.
Yes.
Financial bonus.
Well, the winner is, by 1 point, the Jennings.
Woo! Oh, Chad and Jamie win. The newlyweds.
Okay, let me explain to you why we won. Why we won is because we're, you know, obviously Katie and Roger are still in that learning phase. They're spending more time together. They're still kind of getting to know each other. And Glenn and Jennifer are bitter at this point. They've hit that 25-year bitter mark. And it's like, I hook up the trailer better than you. No, I hook up the trailer better than you. So the only reason we won is we're the middle ground, okay?
You have time. You have time to get bitter. You have lots of time to get bitter.
I don't think it's bitter, though. I'm going to say it's complicated, because the longer you're together, the more information goes into your little database there, and it's harder to recall. It's not so simple anymore. You know, in 1987, Jennifer's favorite color might have been blue. In 2007, it could be orange. See?
Well, we'll just have to have a rematch next year.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
Rematch.
Hey, Roger, I got something else to talk to you about. Katie, you got to watch what you post on your Facebook page. I mean, you know, I don't know if Roger saw the post about how he sings in the shower.
I did.
Your choice of songs are what concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, goodness gracious.
I love Facebook. It's so great. Because I actually have to talk to Roger about a Facebook post that I got from Katie. Roger, you know, everybody step aside for a second. Don't listen. Okay. This is just for me, Roger. Roger, did you give Katie a ring?
I did.
Now, you gave Katie a ring, but it was not the kind of ring that a girl would be wanting, right?
That's correct.
What were you thinking? You think she sees that little box and you pull a ring out and she's like, oh, my God, it's gonna... Nope, it's just, you know, something else.
He forgets.
Well, I had to make sure that I talked to both family members first so that nobody got too excited when they saw the box and thought that maybe I was popping the big question. So everybody knew except for her that it wasn't an engagement ring.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait a sec. Hey, I got to step on that. You're talking to the in-laws concerning the ring that's not the engagement ring?
I'm going to give her a ring, but it's not like a real ring.
Father-in-law, I need to sit down and talk to you about something. It's not the engagement ring.
I'm not proposing.
Well, his mom, I guess, babe, was it Christmas Eve your mom saw the box and insisted on looking at it?
Well, yeah, I
and
was wrapping
presents. And then she started crying?
Yeah, because it's, what type of stone is it, Katie? I forget. Is it an aquamarine?
Aquamarine. And it's beautiful.
And my mom saw it and thought it was a huge diamond and thought that I was, you know, going to give her a diamond. And my mom actually started crying on Christmas Eve. And, you know, I had to explain to her that it wasn't what she thought. So it was a pretty emotional Christmas Eve.
You couldn't just go with a necklace?
I know, right?
I'm hoping that they were like tears of happiness as opposed to tears of fear.
Certainly were. They love you, honey.
Hey, Roger, you have just used up your one free ring.
That's
right. You cannot do that again.
Oh, my God.
I learned a valuable lesson.
His heart was in the right place. That's sweet.
Oh, my gosh, Helena. Seriously? Okay. Imagine how long did I wait for Chad to propose and everything? Like, yeah, seriously, you could have given me a watch. You know, you could have given her a necklace, a watch. Not belly button ring for all I care, but for God's sake, give her a ring. You have to tell everybody ahead of time I'm not proposing. It is not a diamond. It's not an aquamarine. It's the not diamond marine, okay? That's what it is.
It's the not diamond marine.
No, but,
hey,
you know,
I had to
only
wait
been...
10 years for mine, baby.
10 years?
Yeah.
10 years?
Oh,
my. That's ridiculous. You should have traded him in.
Helena, did he give you fake engagement rings every year, okay?
But you know what? I was kind of okay with the 10-year wait because every Christmas I got something that was really good. I got skis. I got all kinds of jewelry. I got big stuff. Cars.
You know, and around Christmas, we had only been dating for 8 months or 9 months. So I think, honestly, had he asked me, had he proposed, he probably would have scared me.
Yeah, especially since we're both in grad school still.
Yeah, that's a little early.
Yeah.
That's probably a little early.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got one more Christmas, buddy.
That's right. This might be a different conversation next Valentine's Day. You never know.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining in. Thank you, Helena.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Roger.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Email me, Katie. We'll talk.
Well, the next song is The Language of Love. It's a perfect song for Valentine's Day. It's brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only app that you're going to need if you're a horse owner to keep track of your horses and what they get as far as vaccines and worming and farrier and dentist. You can keep track of all that stuff. I know that Jamie uses Pocket Stable all the time to keep track of when things are due, and you can do that right on your iPhone. You just go to your app store on the iPhone and look up Pocket Stable or go to PocketStable.com. Only $3.99, less than a cup of coffee. And this is The Language of Love by Marianne Kendall.
Of love is what I understand when you reach for me with a gentle hand. Actions speak louder, words aren't enough in the language of love. Spoken with the tongue, it comes from the heart, it breath, we can send a thought to heal, and what we give is what we'll get.
The language of love, and we're all about love today on Horses in the Morning. I am Jamie Jennings, and of course, Glenn the Geek is with me and producing the show, Jennifer, and today's episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha. And Glenn, since we're all about love, I wanted to read you a poem, and it's just one that I found that says, you know, from a woman's heart, what she wants to communicate to you know, her partner. And I'm going to go ahead and read that to you now. So, you know, woman's poem, before I lay me down to sleep, I pray for a man who's not a creep, one who's handsome, smart, and strong, one who loves to listen long, one who thinks before he speaks, one who will call and not wait for weeks. I pray he's gainfully employed, and when I spend his cash, he won't be annoyed. He pulls out my chair, and he opens my door. He massages my back and feet, and then begs to do more. Oh, send me a man who'll make love to my mind and knows what to answer to how big is my behind. I pray that this man will love me to no end and will always be my very best friend.
Oh, isn't that sweet? You know there's none of them out there, by the way. I have one that I found. Can I read it now? This is sort of like the man's version of that poem. Are you ready? Are you in the mood for a really nice man?
This is sweet. This is sweet, Glenn. This is sweet. You have a poem for a woman. And Jennifer, you know, it's probably directed at you. So go ahead.
Oh, thanks a lot. I pray for a deaf, mute, gymnast, nymphomaniac with huge boobs who owns a bar on a golf course and loves to send me fishing and drinking. This doesn't rhyme, and I don't give a damn. There's the man's poem right there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go over that
and
again.
And I realize that is politically incorrect in so many ways. I admit that. You want to hear it again? Oh, surely.
I want to hear that again.
Okay, I pray for a deaf, mute, gymnast, nymphomaniac with huge boobs who owns a bar on a golf course and loves to send me fishing and drinking. This doesn't rhyme, and I don't give a damn. So there you go.
Oh.
There's the man's version of that poem. And there was something else I found, too. There's something else I found. It was the 10 great Valentine gifts for your husband or your boyfriend and the 10 great Valentine gifts for your wife and your girlfriend. I want to go over those in just a minute. Right after we do this next commercial, I want to go over those because I want to see how many of these we agree with as horse people. Do they even fit, you know, us horse people who really have a different outlook on things? And we're going to be right back with those 10 things after this. For over a year now, we've been telling you about all the cool things happening at Equestrian Collections and the variety and selection of products they have at fantastic prices. But today, we want to talk to you a little bit about their social networking and what a community they have built on Facebook. If you go to Facebook and search for Equestrian Collections, you're going to find that over 20,000 fans are now following Equestrian Collections on Facebook. And the reason is they have a dynamic community built over there. You know, on most store sites, most company sites on Facebook will just promote product and things like that. That's not what happens on Equestrian Collections. Yeah, there's a little bit of that, but mostly it's the community sharing pictures, talking about stories, asking questions of each other. It's an active, vibrant community, like a little forum right there on Facebook. Search for Equestrian Collections on Facebook or stop over to equestriancollections.com for all of your horse and rider needs. Okay, Jamie and Jennifer, now for the 10 great Valentine's gifts for your husband or your boyfriend. But first, we're going to start with the 10 great Valentine gifts for your wife or your girlfriend. And this was on the Top 10 Lists website. So I want to see if you agree with these. So the number 10 on for your wife or your girlfriend now, all of you horse husbands, listen up. A romantic movie or a chick flick at home. I guess that means we have to watch it with you is what they're saying. So I don't know. Is that right. Good?
Yeah, but what you have to say is you have to say romantic movie, chick flick. Scratch that. It is the season of Secretariat on DVD. So let's go with just Secretariat on DVD at home.
Yep.
Change it.
All right, I can change that. And I think I would like to watch that much better than any chick flick. A CD of love songs. You know, number 9 was a CD of love songs. That seems so old-fashioned now, doesn't it, because you have iPods. I would say change that nowadays to a brand-new iPod Touch filled with love songs. I think that's probably more appropriate, don't you?
That's better. That's better. I mean, but, you know, nothing says love like the mixtape from the 1980s.
I would alter that one to say a brand new iPod Touch filled with the complete collection of Marianne Kennedy and Templeton Thompson.
Yes, Jennifer.
There we go.
That's better.
Number 8 is time together, go out to dinner, things like that. Jennifer and I did that one on Saturday. That was the one we did on Saturday. Quality time with Leonard Nimoy and Captain Kirk.
Yep.
That was our day out.
I was going to say naked time, but then the Captain Kirk and Leonard Nimoy thing just blew me out. Forget it.
Number 7 is an iPad or a cell phone. Isn't it funny how that was the first time this made the list? Because technology, you know what I'm finding? It used to be years ago, and I'm stereotyping here, but it was true, especially with horse girls. They weren't into technology so much. Now they all, you go to horse shows, you don't see anything but iPhones at horse shows anymore. Number 6. And I don't know how much this applies. You guys tell me to horse girls, perfume. I've never bought you perfume. I don't like perfume that much. So I don't know. Do you think that one applies, Jamie, to horse girls?
I would have to say, Glenn, that unless you're in perfume with the smell of Lexol leather cleaner that we bought with our new bridle that we got because we have to oil our new bridle, I would say the perfume does not apply unless, of course, it is the citronella fly spray that you purchased in the gift bag of all horse stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, good.
I should date me. If I dated me, I would be awesome.
Number 5, a gift certificate to a spa.
Yeah, that's good.
You know.
That's good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Number four, gift baskets. Jennifer does not like gift baskets. If I bought her a gift basket for Valentine's Day, she would throw it back at me.
Yeah.
Unless I put the gift basket together myself, bought all the individual ingredients, and I have done that in the past. But otherwise, she thinks it takes no thought, no effort, and you're just cheating. So that's her opinion of gift baskets.
I already knew that, Jennifer.
Oh, snap. Time out. What did you guys give me for Christmas?
Glenn did that.
Think about that, though, Jamie. Think about what you just said. It required no time, no thought, no effort. It was a perfect gift for my co-host.
Can you believe he gave me a freaking gift basket for Christmas, and he's sitting here going, oh, Jennifer would throw it back at me. There's no thought, no time, no effort, and you gave me one of those for Christmas? Are you kidding me?
See, Glenn doesn't feel the same way about gift baskets. He thinks they're the awesome gift. He loves them.
Yes, I do. I love them. This is what you get your wife, not what you get your co-host for Christmas. That's different. That doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Number three was jewelry, and I think that one's a very good one for whoever you are. I got Jennifer a new necklace for her rock that we found ourselves. We went digging our own minerals in North Carolina, got all dirty and muddy, and she found this. What kind was it again, Jennifer?
It's a red sapphire. One.
We found our own sapphire, and we had it cut and everything, and then her chain broke this year. So I bought her a new chain for her sapphire, and she wears it all the time. So I think jewelry is pretty much across the board, yeah. Number two is candy. Now, I've heard mixed on that one. I think right now in the healthy day and age, you're hearing mixed things about candy. The chocolate makes girls fat, so they don't want chocolate anymore. So I'm not sure about candy.
Glenn, I'm not sure. You're not a woman. You don't get it. The health goes out the window on holidays like this. Chocolate is always good. It is fantastic. It is an awesome idea, and you can't go wrong with a little bit of chocolate. I mean, mix it up. Don't just give me chocolate. Don't give me 40 pounds of, like, you know, Intamin. But seriously, chocolate is always a happy thing.
Okay. Well, there, I just got schooled on
she
that
told
one.
You.
And get the basket. Yeah. And then number one, Jennifer loves chocolate.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then number one on the hit parade for what to get your wife or girlfriend for Valentine's Day has been, always will be, and I think will never change, and that's red roses. Red roses is still the number one gift for Valentine's Day. I wish we had a statistic of how many roses were given at Valentine's Day, because it's got to be huge.
Okay, this is
how many
where I'm at on red roses, though. I love red roses and all. That's all cool. Personally, would rather have a dozen bales of alfalfa hay. Sorry.
This is true. However, it's not quite as romantic. And Glenn, just to let you know, I did do the Valentine's Day trivia about the flowers, and 110 million roses, with like 90-something percent of those are red, will be delivered and sold within a three-day period. 110 million.
And 10 million. Wow.
That's a lot of roses. So, yeah. You're not
all
the
right.
only one who gets red roses.
So there is the top 10 Valentine's gifts to give your wife or girlfriend, and I'm going to do very quickly, this is not going to take any time at all, to do the top 10 great Valentine's gifts for your husband or boyfriend. Number 10 is grills, number 9 is music, number 8 is LCD TV, number 7 is steaks, I don't get that one, number 6 is Wii games, number 5 is tool sets, number 4 is magazines or books, number 3 is cameras, number 2 is watches. Throw all of those out. None of them matter. Who cares? We don't care. None of those are right, because the only thing that you should get your guy or husband or boyfriend this Valentine's Day is number one on this list, which I totally agree with, and that is sexy coupons. All men like these gifts. Ladies, you know have what it takes. You just print out your own book of sexy coupons of things that you will do for him over the next year. And you print it out and you give it to him for Valentine's Day, and that's all we need. I will take that over a grill, a TV, or whatever. Sexy coupon book. There is my suggestion for the perfect, happy Valentine's gift for your boyfriend or husband.
And the good thing about that, Glenn, is that, you know, the things you mentioned before, grills, TVs, Wii games, tool sets, all that stuff is extremely expensive. And we all have a budget. We have an equine budget that we have to attend to. So the cheapest and most cost-efficient way to get yourself to that horse show this weekend is to go and spend some time with your man, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't care how you rationalize it, Jamie. It all comes out the same in the end. It all is the same in the end. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you being here today. We hope you had a little fun on Valentine's Day. And we're going to be back again tomorrow with a regular schedule of guests, horsey-related tomorrow. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at Horse Radio.
Absolutely. If you missed this live show, why would you have missed it? Or why would you want to go back and listen? But you can check out the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow again, 9 a.m. And I'll tell you, Lord, I'm going to need y'all to help with this one. Y'all are going to have to call in, because I'm going to tell you about horse shopping and a road trip.
Yeah.
So goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it. All right, a little beautiful day from Templeton Thompson to lead out the show.
Lay the top down.